This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. How are you doing, Nick?
Hi, Johnny. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I hope you had a very good 4th of July as well.
Yes, it was nice. We saw some fireworks, bonfires, plenty of good food.
Well, I spent July the 4th staying up all night watching the results of the UK election, and we'll talk about that and the market reaction to Labour's landslide victory shortly. But the big story of the day really for markets is the latest US jobs numbers, the non-farm payroll data. Job growth has slowed. Unemployment is up to 4.1%. And you were just saying to me off air, a mixed bag of data with these jobs numbers. In terms of interest rates and how likely a cut is sooner rather than later, how have today's figures affected that?
Sure. And I guess mixed also entails kind of like depends who you would ask. If you're somebody who is wanting to see inflation go down for sure, you may want jobs data to cool off. But, you know, at the same time, dollar bulls are not having a great day. So you're seeing the dollar give back some gains here that's made recently. We've really in the last week or so just seen nothing but red candles for the dollar index, allowing other currencies to move higher, the euro, the pound, even the yen a little bit here recently. So what we're seeing, Johnny, is today's number was at first when I was watching the reaction, I figured, oh, 206 compared to 191,000 in terms of forecast is not a huge change. I mean, slightly higher, but then the real details were the revisions. And if we take a look at that, we see that for the month of May, the numbers that reported early June last month, we saw a 272,000 jobs print, which was pretty strong. Then we see today it get revised down to 218. That is where the real slowdown in jobs materialized today. And once that hit the floor, you know, markets really reacted. We saw gold much higher today. Stocks continued to push higher and the dollar moved lower. I think what also we have to add to this story is that the unemployment rate also ticked up. We were at 4% and we were expected to stay at 4%. We actually ticked up to 4.1%. And certainly that, you know, now that we're in the fours, it's going to just be a on the radar of the Federal Reserve. And you mentioned, you know, the rate cut story. This is definitely a progress thing for the rate cut story, because just before jumping on this call with you, Johnny, I was looking at the Fed Watch tool, and we saw with the Fed Watch tool expectations for rate cuts this year have actually just slightly teetered into the 2 as a base case rather than 1. So before today, before this week, we were kind of hovering around 1 rate cut in September. But now it seems like by the December 18th meeting, there is a slightly outsized chance that we actually see 2 rate cuts, whether that is in the September and then November meeting or September and December meeting, we'll have to see. But adding some interesting flair to the election year, because it is going to look like we're going to get rate cuts most likely pre-election here in the U.S.
I think the wages growth under 4%, I know the Fed wants to see it in the threes. That does help, doesn't it, considerably? Because it's all very well unemployment ticking up, but wages are a big factor in inflation. And as you said, it looks like possibly 2 rate cuts between now and the end of the year. So overall, a fairly positive assessment.
Fairly positive, yes. The only thing I think that we have to kind of, and we've talked about this on the podcast many times, is now keeping an eye on where this data kind of stops, because we are now anticipating rate cuts, which will help with the situation, which will help with the potential slowdown, or at least that's the forecast. But the Fed has remained very data dependent. And one criticism you could give with data dependent is data dependent usually means lagging a lot of the data that is coming in. So if you're waiting for something to show you signs that you need to rate cut, it could be too late. So it will be interesting. And I think that, you know, for me, Johnny, one thing that I would note is that on today, we see commodities like gold and silver moving much higher. Meanwhile, stocks are moving just modestly higher. To give you some numbers, we're up at the time of recording 0.75% on gold and 1.3% on silver. And the reason I bring that up is that silver and gold oftentimes will move higher in anticipation for economic concern, right? So if we're going to see rate cuts as well as maybe, you know, where do we end on this data slowdown number, there's a bit of a case for gold and silver to actually see appreciation. So again, noting that The stock market is flat on the day. Meanwhile, that safe haven that is gold is moving higher here today. Shows you a little bit about how the market's feeling. The stock market's been ripping higher. They're excited about rate cuts, but there may be a flavor in there of, is the Fed going to wait too long to cut rates? Still, we'll have to see. But again, today's data definitely in favor of people looking for rate cuts.
Okay, let's switch to the other side of the Atlantic and a huge sea change on the political and possibly the economic front here in the UK. After 14 years of conservative government in power, we've now gone to Labour here in the UK. And interesting to see market reaction. The pound has remained stable. And generally speaking, markets have reacted pretty positively. I'm wondering whether it's because of this landslide by the Labour Party that gives markets a sense of certainty. As we know, they hate uncertainty. House builders shares are up because the Labour Party has promised in its manifesto a massive rebuilding program with the relaxation of planning laws. Interesting to see also the pound against the dollar, the highest level since mid-June to 127. It's been widely expected, of course, this victory by Labour, and certainly priced into the financial markets already. But it's interesting to see in the past, when it's been a Labour win rather than a Conservative win, markets haven't been so keen. There's a general thumbs up from markets for Keir Starmer and his soon-to-be Chancellor of the Exchequer, we think the first female Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeve. So a significant political shift for the UK. Investors appear to welcome the changing of the guard, judging by how the FTSE 250 has got off to a very good start today. And actually, looking down at some of the numbers here, the FTSE's gain today is the best market reaction for the first day of a new UK Prime Minister since 1984, which really surprised me. Do you have any interest in this on your side of the Atlantic as to what's happened in the UK election?
The thing is, Johnny, I think that elections this year thematically for markets matter. You know, whether you're talking about the UK, Europe, or the US, elections cause uncertainty and volatility. We've talked about that on the podcast before. Today, you know, as you mentioned, I think one thing that is important here is that as you're talking about, you know, kind of the election coming out and, you know, the results are behind us and the market isn't freaking out at this point, that is a generally a positive thing. You know, a big thing with uncertainties like this, with like example, the pandemic, as you've mentioned, a calm after the storm is usually a good thing rather than chaos ensuing. So it is definitely the pound is making some serious gains, as we've mentioned earlier, the highest that it's been in some time. The pound making a nice little comeback here in terms of against the dollar. And partially, you could say that that was certainly in due because of the weaker U.S. dollar this week. But as well, as you mentioned, elections kind of coming to a close, or at least some of the climax behind us is certainly a good thing, and then perhaps allows the market to kind of get back to business as usual, if you will.
And you can contrast that, Nick, with what's happening in Europe at the moment with the French elections, a great deal of uncertainty there. So maybe there's more money coming into the UK than you would previously have thought, because we have this period of relative certainty coming up, political certainty at least. Whereas in France, who knows what's going to happen? Very much a split country politically at the moment. We'll wait and see over the weekend. So I would imagine that markets are more keen on the UK than on the European region at the moment.
Yeah, but you know, to touch on that in terms of, you know, if you just cross the euro against the pound, we've seen a lot of pound dominance recently, arguably because of what you're just talking about. Some of the uncertainty with the elections there, there's been a lot of chaos. Actually, even Christine Lagarde, when she was speaking to Jerome Powell, she strategically held her tongue when asked about the European elections, just because of how volatile that conversation clearly was. Again, I can't say I have my finger on the pulse with the European elections, but I could sense just by listening to their conversation during the ECB panel earlier this week, you know, that is clearly a touchy subject. And that, again, markets really dislike that uncertainty. So I imagine that, you know, until those things are behind us, the election phase, that uncertainty is behind us, things could remain rocky and volatile there as well. You know, Johnny, we still have the big one, at least for the global scale, the US elections coming this year. There is no shortage of volatility due to that. We've seen so many different swings A quick example, solar companies in the United States have had some tax reliefs and things like that from the Biden administration. And with the debate that happened last Thursday, the kind of volatility that ensued after was solar stocks sold off greatly because people, I guess, took the debate as more favorable towards Trump. And so we've just seen all sorts of swings. And I imagine there are no shortage of those coming for the rest of the year.
So we've reached the end of the week almost. What stood out for you over the last few days? Was it the PMIs?
It definitely was the PMIs, Johnny. I mean, we had in the U.S. our services PMI dipped back well below 50 and well below expected numbers. And the services component of the economy by the U.S. standards, as well as the U.K. standards, by the way, is a huge component of our economy. We're not nearly as large of a manufacturing economy as we once were. And so the services PMIs really slipping this week, I think actually might have had just as much importance as the jobs data here on Friday. It was a substantial relaxation of that component of the economy, and that certainly has been a very positive thing for the rate cut story. So that was huge. I think JOLTS was back and forth a little bit better than expected, but what really also helped out with the rate cut story was unemployment claims came in higher, and that continues to trend higher. So we see unemployment rate trending higher. We see unemployment claims trending higher. And now we saw a jobs print with revisions that was much cooler. So it is clear that jobs data is trending now to the downside. We're seeing some material slowing there. So that definitely stuck out to me this week. And on the U.S. front, next week, we do have Jerome Powell speaking on Tuesday. We also have on Sunday the French parliamentary elections, which, as you mentioned, could be certainly volatile there. On Wednesday, we've got Jerome Powell testifying again. And then on perhaps the biggest event of the week, on Thursday in the morning, we do get our CPI numbers out of the U.S., which is all eyes on that for sure, because of how important it is now that we see the labor data cooling, but also inflation cooling. Because if you don't have headline inflation coming down alongside these data points, then you've got some issues. And finally, Friday, we have the PPI numbers, which will be very important as well to the inflation story.
Nick, have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.